Hello and welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah and this is my co-host Joey.
What's up, guys?
And we're honored to welcome our two medical interns that are with us today, the so-called Docs in Stops, who envision a movement towards a better healthcare experience for the South African healthcare professionals and their patients. So, aka Matt and Ryan, welcome to the show, guys. How are you doing on this splendid spring day?
Can't complain, thank you very much. I think Matt's post-call today, so I'm sure we're going to be in for a cracker.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that's when the humor gets really dry. Yeah. When you hear the honest truth.
We got you in your best place, your most vulnerable.
You guys got me vulnerable. I'm like a little fetus inside right here.
An hour of sleep and two Red Bulls, nothing more needed.
Yeah,
we got this, guys. Welcome to the South African healthcare system.
Well, it's great to have you two on the show. Really excited to be chatting to you. Also good to be back in studio, Debbie. It's been a minute since we've recorded anything. So,
yeah.
And of course, a warm welcome to all our listeners. A big shout out to all of you. We truly appreciate all the love and support that you have shown us over the past couple of months. Please keep it coming. Keep the feedback coming and we'll keep the content flowing. You know where to find us on Instagram. Our handle is @MedTalkZA. So today we are recording a mini-series with the Docs in Slops. True to form, only one of them is wearing slops.
Shocking.
Just wanted to point that out.
I'm very disappointed.
It was the first thing I looked for when I saw the two of you. I was like, checking the footwear.
Lopez is the more formal.
Ryan's got a wedding in Benoni after this.
Still in shorts, though. So yeah, this is obviously the first episode that we're recording with them when we get to know these strangers that are sitting in front of us. Ryan, let's start off with you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey up to this point?
So at the moment I'm an intern. I'm at St. Joseph Hospital. Went to varsity at Wits and grew up in Benoni on the East Rand. Both myself and Matt are Benoni boys. Went to school at CBC Boxburg. That was where I met Matt way back in the day.
Pasties for the resties.
Matt was a bowler, I was a batsman. Matt won that battle, I think, hands down. a few dents in my helmet to prove that one.
Shocking. And you're still friends.
He's definitely got the length to put in a good bouncer.
I ducked under all of them. A few hit the wickets despite ducking under them. Yeah. But
impressive duck.
But yeah, and then we've gone down the path of medicine. Matt was the year behind me at school. And I'm second year internship, Matt's now first year internship. Both went to Wits, Wits graduates. And yeah, enjoying the path. It's been a very interesting journey. I think it's definitely not something you can prepare for 100% or expect the path that it will take. And we've arrived at the path of Docs in Slops, which has been an incredible part of the journey. We ended up being flatmates for 5 years during the course of our varsity career, and now we've started the business and the social media side together. That's been an exciting part of the journey.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Tell me, why did you decide on doing your internship at Helen Joseph Hospital?
So Helen Joseph was my first choice. I was in a relationship at the time, now married.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say it ended and now you're just chilling in Helen Joseph.
I'm stuck in Helen
Joseph.
No, it's going very well.
So was in a relationship, mostly social reasons, that I wanted to stay in Joburg. Mm. Looked at the Joburg circuit, and obviously being at Wits, I knew a couple of the Joburg hospitals.
Mm, that helps.
And Helen, for me, was the hospital that was the most patient-centered. I really enjoyed the patient-centered approach, and I thought Barrow was a little bit hectic, Joburg Gen a little bit too specialized, and that was essentially the algorithm that led to Helen Joseph Hospital. And put it down as my first choice, got lucky enough to get it. Second choice was anything on the beach. And
with you on that one.
with Bron. And yeah, so we ended up at Helen Joseph. I've enjoyed the journey so far. It's had some challenges along the way. There's definitely some challenges to that patient-centered approach. That's really a struggle at times, but equally there's been some really lovely experiences along the way and some really good experiences, and overall as a hospital I'd recommend it. Definitely one of the nicer hospitals in the Joburg circuit in my opinion, but I think every person has their own sets of criteria and what they're looking for, and I think you can't place a best hospital or a ranking for everybody in general. You can't generalize like that. You definitely have to choose individually what works for you. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan, for that. Matt, how about you? Tell us, how did you end up here? How did you end up in studio with us today?
Sure. So it started a long time back, you know, when two parents love each other very much.
Okay, not that old story.
I think Ryan has said most of it. We grew up in Benoni and went to school together at CBC Boksburg. It was a hell of a lekker experience, and we actually both played cricket together. That's where we became really good mates, made it into first team, and bonded over getting branded with a plastic wicket on tour.
Oh, lovely.
We had a small cricket bat. Every school's got their weapon.
Yeah. No, 100% free. It's weapon of choice. Yeah. No firearms on the East Rand. I think during school and even during varsity, Rhino was always a bit of a role model to me. I looked up to him figuratively.
I looked up to that literally. Still do.
I think our families also had a connection a while before that. We had one or two mutual friends, and the moms just sat chatting for ages, and the dads just enjoyed drinking beer together and playing golf. So, you know, as they do. Ryan and I became best mates. I got a lucky opportunity to get to Hilton College for the last 3 years. Which was really lucky to get to diversify a bit and experience what their systems are like there.
Imagine Boksburg versus Benoni.
Benoni and Hilton, bro. I'll tell you what, they are
different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, but also surprisingly, a lot of similarities in some of the people as well. A lot of lessons learned and stuff like that. It was very cool. Came back to Wits as well. It wasn't as much by choice. It was kind of one of the only spots that I got into. I was like, cool, I'm heading back home.
prodigal son returns.
Yeah, 100%. Bro. They slaughtered the lamb and everything.
And I remember meeting, we met up again. So Matt was obviously at Hilton for the last 3 years. And I'd gone on back for a second time.
If not, why not?
First year varsity was a lot of fun. Went on another back.
And once you've had that experience, it makes sense to go again. I mean, you're just so inexperienced. Once you're in matric, two, three, and four
only grow with experience. So I met Matt again on back on the second back, and we had a few beers and said, "No, listen, we're going to be in the same area next year. Why don't we get a flat together? It's going to make the trip easier. We can stay somewhere in Joburg and continue with varsity." And that was where the journey continued, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. We kind of remembered that drunk conversation after somewhere between 1 to 10 beers.
Matt remembered more than me.
And I was like, Ryan, I remember that conversation we had, that crush, Brian Belito.
You could barely hear each other when you speak there.
Brilliant conversation. Short and sweet. To the point.
We had a proper heart-to-heart about living together. And I'm dead keen. I think the drive from Benoni to Joburg was quite hectic. It sucked your soul, pretty much. It was like an hour there, hour back, if you were lucky. Eventually I said, no, I'll stay on someone's kitchen floor in Joburg. I just want to leave the time. And so Ryan and I set out, and we went through varsity together. It was out of a lacquer. I don't think I would have got through it without him. It was just such an epic experience to live with your best mates, and
I don't think there's much like it, eh?
No, 100%. We were really fortunate. We both only children, actually, funnily enough. So we became fairly brotherly, and it was an epic experience. I think we understood each other, but it was nice to be in separate years in that we had different stresses at different times.
We were able to support
each other, different interests as well. Matt was a rugby player, I was a hockey player. So, we had our own different outlets, but we were also there to support each other through the varsity times. And, had a lot of good fun, a lot of good pub crawls along the way.
I'm sure.
100%. Ones that should never be on your CV. And now I'm at Klerksdorp Tepong. Also moved there for love reasons. My girlfriend's family is that side, and it was the plan for us to head that side.
And no one really knows where that is. So.
No one knows where Klokstad is.
It's in the northwest, Debbie.
Yeah, got it. It's in South Africa. Yeah. They pretty much only speak Afrikaans in Tswana, so I'm pretty much useless there.
I'm an outcast.
I'm good for writing chest x-ray forms.
Yeah, forms need to be completed in English.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
You've put your clinical medicine to the practice.
Yeah,
history
for
taking
sure.
has taken a backseat for now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but so that's been the journey, and now lekker to see Rhino again. I haven't seen him in a while. Rhino came all the way through to Klokstad today to come pick me up, and we're heading back there later.
So I hope you guys are well caught up.
So that's the journey. Now we're drinking coffee with some lekker people.
Awesome. Yeah. Feel more personally acquainted already.
Yeah, well, now that we've been enlightened on the who, what, why, and where, let's ask the audience favorite question. How did you find being a medical student? Is it something that it's all hyped up to be? And also, if you have any anecdotal stories or two about your experience, we'd love to hear it. So Matt, let's start with you.
Sure. I think being a med student was pretty rad. Mm-hmm. When I first got the letter to say that going into med school, I think your dreams and your visions, you're not are like at the end product. And what you are going to be, and you're not quite aware of the process of what it takes to get there. And
I think that's actually so well said. I've never heard someone say that so well, because you get there and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to be a medical student in the hospitals.
That's more like I'm going to be a doctor.
Exactly. You're going to be doing the things. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, doing the things. And then it's kind of just like this really long wait until anything exciting happens.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's true. So I think from that side, but it's a cool growing experience. And you do, I think you learn a lot about yourself, and as much as med students, we think like it takes all our time, and it does. it takes all your time, and it takes all your soul. I think you learn a lot about yourself and a lot about other people. And I think having less time, makes you be able to truly appreciate what you want in life and what you want to do. In the time outside of your work. So I think from a med student side, it was a hell of a cool experience. Wouldn't do it again.
Would not recommend.
Yeah, the first 2 years.
I recommend it, but you know, I wouldn't go through it again. But it was really good. I think stories wise, I think that will come out through the next couple of episodes.
All the great memories.
Yeah.
So Ryan, let's hear your side of the story.
I think definitely your time in med school prepares you for internship. I think it prepares you a lot from an academic perspective, but I think nothing really prepares you for the full emotional perspective. I think internship's definitely a challenging time, and it challenges who you are, and you actually get to know yourself a lot more. You get to know what makes you tick, and what stops you from ticking. Mm. And I think growing in that awareness has been a really nice journey. I have to say, I think I grew a lot academically in med school, and I think internship I've lost a lot of that academic.
So left my brain.
Yeah.
But you grow more holistically through the internship experience, and I think we're very fortunate in SA that our internship experience is very hands-on. Mm-hmm. Despite often doing a lot of paperwork, a lot of administrative tasks, we still have really good hands-on experience, and to grow as a young doctor in that regard, internship's been an incredible experience, and I've really enjoyed it. We're very fortunate, and I think I stand correct to say that that's almost at any hospital in South Africa, there's really a lot of opportunity to grow. So we really are fortunate in that regard.
I mean, it might be hard, but there's an opportunity. It's there.
It's interesting to hear how things are done on the other side of the EXK. The inverts. two tuck students here.
Tuck with what?
Who won the last Varsity Cup rugby game, by the way?
I don't know.
When was that even?
I think it was last year. I don't know.
Pre-COVID times. No one even remembers.
What is sports?
Yeah, what is what is Varsity Cup?
What is socializing?
But okay. So speaking of something that Debbie and I can't yet relate to, and you touched on it now, Ryan, your internship, how medical school prepares you for it. Matt, what would you say? Does medical school prepare you for your internship? Can it ever fully? Is it a stupid question to ask?
I agree with Ryan. I think from an academic perspective, definitely well prepared. Like, you definitely go in with the solid knowledge base, more than I think you need to know. In med school, they're always pumping up, like, you need to know this and this and this.
Specialist knowledge.
And this criteria. And that thing, yeah, specialist knowledge.
Cancer staging and, like, yeah. Like treatment of each stage.
Yeah, 100%.
Is it in the submucosa?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, no, I think from the academic side, you're super well prepared, and okay. They stress
that's
that in
a relief.
School. Yeah, like you'll be more than well prepared. And yeah, in med school they stress that, and that's all your exams are about. But at the end of the day, you know, like, it comes down to a lot more than that. It comes down to, like, patients aren't textbooks, and you're dealing with humanity. So you're dealing with people's emotions and feelings and casualty, you know, or like, no one really cares how you can, or obviously they care, like, can you manage the miscarriage? But, you know, like, you're now trying to counsel a mom on why she had a miscarriage at, like, 3 a.m, you know?
Mm. And so the emotional strain that takes on you.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, 100%. Especially now when you've got, like, 10 patients waiting, you're kind of like, well, how quickly can I counsel this mom, you know, at 3 in the morning? You're like, you want to give them the full time and a full good listening ear, but at the same time, you might have an ectopic waiting in the line kind of a thing. So I think from an emotional side and, like, a managerial side, sure, I don't think med school even touches on that and, like, how to be a human in medicine. Like, they teach you how to be a good doctor, but yeah, doctors and humans are two
different species.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily blame med school as such for that.
Yeah.
I think it's a very difficult thing to learn and experience without being in the system.
Actually.
So it's definitely, I mean, you have all the tuts and that on how to prepare. And, I mean, we were lucky at Wits. We even had actors from Wits Acting School come in and act as patients at times.
But we actually had that. We had psychologists come and act as psych patients. That was very interesting.
I think actors would be better than psychologists, though. Wits has got the right idea.
Giving the actors jobs, at least.
But yeah, to prepare you for the real thing is a real challenge. And as Matt says, it's one thing to do it when you've woken up fresh and you go to your tat in the morning and it's 8 o'clock in the morning and you meet this actor. But it's another thing to do it at 3 o'clock in the morning when it's a real life and you're experiencing your real life and have your own emotional issues potentially going on at that point in time. And I think, yeah, it's difficult to prepare for that without really just experiencing it. And again, very lucky in SA that we can experience it and grow a lot from that.
It is an enriching experience, I can imagine, but steep learning curve.
Yeah.
Steep learning curve.
One that we want to wait. Okay, nothing like a bit of adversity to form bonds between people. So I think now the audience, just like me, has probably been having this burning anticipation since the start of the podcast for me to ask this question, and that's why I've left it for last. So, Matt and Ryan, where does the splendid name Docs and Slops originate? And tell us a bit more about it.
So, going back to that famous meeting in Belito at Crush, I think there's a good chance that one of us was
please
probably...
Please don't say you were wearing
was probably wearing slops.
I think both of us were.
Oh, it's that, like, stick. And then you step up and your foot is here and the plucky stays.
Yeah. No, 100%. Oh. You end up two-stepping barefoot. Shoes are parked at the entrance.
Or you could do the classic, put them up on your ankles with the thong. You know? I don't know if you've ever done it.
No, not from Cape Town.
From the East Rand. We keep it classy. Keeping
it classy.
Sure.
And yeah, at Matt's 21st, we were both in slops again, I think, and squeaked some slop over there. From a more realistic point of view, the idea behind Docs and Slops is that essentially we think that a lot of system errors occur in medicine, and a lot of the time we have to focus on fixing the system and on administrative tasks as opposed to focusing on the patient. And for that reason, we spend a lot of our time in the hospitals doing these administrative tasks, worrying about not being able to focus on the patient and not getting a lot of time at home. So Docs and Slops, by simplifying healthcare, would hopefully give us more time to focus on the patient and also give us more time at home, give doctors more time to spend in slops. And that's not only from the doctor's perspective, but also from a healthcare perspective in general. So it's changing the way that we look at healthcare and increasing efficiency in systems to make healthcare more effective, giving us more for time to be humans too.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that.
That's yeah, cool. A little foot runner. Yeah. I'm going to write that down.
That could be the whole ethos of like statements of your whole...
mission statement. Like, yeah, mission there we statement. Go, guys.
Tattoos on our thighs.
Yeah, I might have to continue to my cough.
Aerial 12 points. I'm sure it could fit.
Line spacing one.
Yeah, line spacing
one. But no, that's actually really brilliant to hear. And it's nice to know that... you know, there's someone in the South African system that's actually trying to do something about this. I think there's a few. I mean, it's something that we're all experiencing. It's something that we're all in together. But it's nice that there's people taking the initiative to be like, okay, guys, like, something's not right here. We can kind of, we got to start to change somewhere. And I was actually, interesting enough, I was listening to a psychologist giving a chat the other day, and he was talking about systems and broken systems and how you can fix a broken system. But if you don't fix the people in the system will still be broken. So I think that's something that, because I was always like, oh, I have this big picture in my mind of, you know, how I'm going to fix this system. But it's also, we're dealing with people, and you need to remember that people are, you know, human beings are very real, and they come with all of their baggage and issues, and that also needs to be addressed if you want your system to be fixed at the end of the day. So it's very... It's a very noble task, but I think if a lot more people get on board with it, it's definitely, I think it's attainable. I think it's something that needs to be done.
No, that's an incredibly good point, I think. Humans form such an intricate part of the healthcare system. In fact, I'd say the base of our healthcare system. Without the humans acting as humans, you're not going to have an effective healthcare system. And I think so much time when we're under so much pressure, especially from an administrative point of view, when there's a broken system, it puts pressure and you get an ineffective output. And often that can lead to burnout. It can lead to adverse outcomes in patients. And it's a self-perpetuating cycle. So if you're able to address that and fix the system, including the humans in the system, it just leads to a better overall output for everybody.
Yeah,
100%. And I think also, like, just as a founding basis of it, if you go back to the cave drawings in Benoni, you know, you'll see the slops quite clearly painted in there.
Fundamentals, guys. And,
500 BC.
Yeah, the real cradle of humankind. And for us, it's just a symbol of simplicity. And for us, it's about simplifying systems, exactly like how you guys said and mentioned already. And through that simplicity, just trying to create that emotional and human connection again, and like by having like rad intricate systems that like by no means are simple, but create simplicity through their complexity, if I could say that, just gives you that more slop-like feeling when you're dealing with patients. You know, like you can actually just be yourself and like sit down and have a chat and be like, you know, how's your family? You know, like, I'm not just going to prescribe you enalapril because your blood pressure is like 5 milligrams mercury over what it should be. You know, like,
actually. For good measure.
Yeah, 100%, Bruce. Good luck.
Is it your wife that's irritating you? That's why your blood pressure. You know, you've got to know these things.
Exactly, 100%. And those are all the underlying things that we just don't get the time to look over because you're too busy trying to, like, catch up with the system. So it is, it's about simplicity and just trying to bring that, like, practicing in slops kind of feeling, you know, to medicine.
Break down the white stethoscope, the white lab coat feeling of medicine, and portray that human feeling.
Because I think many people have very legitimate fears about, you know, doctors and the healthcare system. And I know for a lot of people it does create a lot of anxiety. And it's just to remind them, like, okay, we're also people. Like, you don't have to be intimidated. It's actually completely fine. And I think a lot of the, you know, intimidation comes from the fact that they're not educated. So our patients are not educated on what's happening, on what's going to happen to them, and often we don't have time to educate them. So I think that's also something as doctors that we really need to, like, hone in on, is just to, like, take a second and be like, you know, okay, this is what's actually wrong with you. Like, I mean, I had a patient once, she had an angina and she didn't know that she had one or that she was on the medication for it, you know. So it's just to take, like, 5 minutes and just be like, okay, let me explain.
you're taking this pill because of this.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah,
the doctor just told me I've got to take this.
And they don't know.
And through your internship, the importance of that becomes more and more evident. Every day, you'll face a case like that. Genuinely, it's definitely been our experience. And I think you touched on a really important point there, in that education and health is so connected. They really are fundamentally connected, and you have to view the two together. You're never going to have one without the other. And definitely that's part of the idea as well, behind Docs and Slops is allowing, using other systems such as multimedia to be able to educate patients and improve their understanding of conditions. We'll discuss a little bit more about that at a later point.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something that we've looked at, and I think there's a lot of potential for that, especially with people becoming, with social media, with an increased access to technology in the country.
I saw that post that you guys made on your Docs and Slops Instagram page about the drawings of contraception, or basically for female contraception, and explaining, I think it was a copper T or something marine, yes, or intrauterine device. And the caption was so brilliantly stated, something about each drawing is a woman empowered. And yeah, that was amazing.
So I have to give a quick shout out to my wife on that one. Bron's part of the Docs and Slops team, and she's an OT, an occupational therapist. And she definitely plays a very big role in our mindset and our outlook on medicine. And a lot of the social media side comes from some of her ideas as well. And it's through that we were able to put together some of those posts.
Yeah.
And I think definitely with the allied healthcare professionals, and that's a term that I'm cautious to use, but nonetheless, with the allied healthcare professionals, they have a more holistic view of medicine. And I think often it's important that we keep touching base as junior doctors and focus on that. We've really enjoyed the social media side of Docs and Slops, and it's been really nice to have an outreach in that regard.
Can I just ask, why are you cautious to use the term allied healthcare professionals?
So allied healthcare professionals as a term can be used more broadly. So I've listened to the talk on the integrative healthcare, and that term can be used for a number of healthcare professionals, and different people use it for different healthcare professionals. And it can be something that some people don't like using as such. And I'd prefer to use each of the allies individually and refer to each.
Refer to them.
I think it's
That's
a little bit
are.
Of a generalization. But
I think it's a bit more respectful.
Yes, yeah. But in saying that, I mean, we need to be able to, in conversation, use a collective term, and I think everything other than doctors would sound very derogatory.
Yeah.
But it's the rehabilitative team. And I think that's probably a more accurate term, would be the rehabilitative team. Because often the doctors are there to stabilize, and I've always spoken about it and said that the doctors might save the lives, but the allied team or the rehabilitative team makes the life worth living thereafter.
Yeah, no, and restore that quality of life.
And that's also really what Docs and Slops is about the patient having quality of life by interacting with the healthcare system.
Yeah, I think that's a whole nother kind of worms that you open up there.
It's a rabbit hole.
It's at least like a six-beer conversation.
No, 100%, because I think, that's definitely this hierarchy that we've made in our minds of how things are supposed to go, and it's really very unnecessary and not true. But
can create for a very toxic environment.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, I think there's ways around that, and that's addressing the system, and that's addressing issues with the system. And I've learned so much from OTs, from physiotherapists, and I've learned how to make patients' lives worth living thereafter, and been part of that journey. And I think that's been an incredible part as well.
No, 100%. But I think to wrap up our first episode, I think that was really cool. It's really nice that we've gotten to know you guys a bit better. Just thank you to our guests. Remember that, guys, this is a mini-series, so we'll be having them on for two more episodes. And just thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We hope that you guys have learned and taken from this as much as I know I personally have. Guys, keep in store for the rest. It's going to be a really exciting journey.
Thanks to the two Docs and Slops. It's been a lovely discussion, and I already feel enriched. I'm excited to take this discussion forward. Please give them a follow on their Instagram page. It is @docs @_in_slops. Pretty easy. If you just give it a search, it's going to pop up. I promise. I've done it. It's a good page, by the way. A good stalker than the other day. So for our next episode, we're going to be discussing the major issues that our healthcare system faces, healthcare worker burnout, and we'll be having much more banter, I'm sure. Of course, applicable. I mean, we are having a serious chat, but I mean, each serious chat does need its leveler with a bit of a joke here or there. Can't take yourself too seriously.
That's what we're about. You can't be as serious like in Slops.
Break the stereotype.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just listeners, thank you for tuning in. Hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a follow on our Instagram page. Give us some feedback. That's @MedTalksZA. And this is MedTalk signing out.